Hello.
In advance of that having what?
Dave must have disappeared. Okay.
Dave dropped off the call, I guess.
Yes, he did. Okay. He must have. Okay. Does someone else want to comment? Are you back?
I have something, Levarne.
Okay. Dump Brian. Look,
Brian, I think you're actually getting into procedural questions rather than financial questions here. And ultimately, the majority of the board is going to do what the majority of the board wants. I mean, if it contravenes a prior motion, God help you, if you're in the minority, that's not what you can do.
Sorry.
If
you wanted to clad that kind of policy in iron, you give it notice and pass it by two-thirds as a special rule of order. It's the closest thing to a bylaws change you can get without a referendum. But, I mean, we're not discussing a finance issue here. You're discussing a governance issue.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I just wanted
We didn't hear the last part of what you said.
Yeah, what was the last thing you heard me say?
Good question.
No one was listening,
why don't you
so it must not have been that important.
It was,
the really brilliant stuff came after I got cut off. I don't know if I can reproduce it. The thing I was asking is basically, what happens when the board passes a motion and says, you know, it comes out of such a fund? What does it mean to have, functionally, to have the motion that we've approved about financial impact in place? I'm still not clear. And what do people on this committee think? Is the implication that you can't, that if it's out of the budget, if the amount that is required is more than is in the budget line from which it was specified that it should come, that it doesn't move forward until the board reconsiders it? Is that what we're saying? I mean, I can tell you that'll get thrown out the window almost instantly the first time there's board consensus for something and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit. So really, what are we talking about? In terms of this kind of supposed discipline?
Well,
philosophical question.
But if the board, for example, were to propose overspending a line item, that is to say there's no money for that line item, what I would say in that circumstance is you're overspending the line item by XYZ, and there is a budget in these income statements for board expenses, which is shown like any other station of what the expenses of the board are at any given time. I would say if you're going to overspend line item A, you have to identify reductions in line item B. That is, if you're going to spend the money on meeting and travel, you might have to reduce the amount you plan to spend on consulting, and then we can do that in the room. That's not that hard to do because we have public documents and the income statement is there. That will be one way to settle that issue there. If it's something that can't be done in the room because you don't know the cost, then the only suggestion I would have is that the board be say to us, we want to spend $100. We don't know if we have the money. We can at this point see it. Ask that that be analyzed and reported back to the board within a week. Ordinary report. And then the board can decide whether it needs to meet or whether it's not such an issue that it's so grave that there needs to be a meeting. And then you just let it go and you plan to overspend the item. That's the way that...
And Brian and Dave, you were off the call, but I think it was Brian who was saying that he felt that what we were discussing now was really a governance issue rather than a financial issue.
And the board process, board has to come over.
Dave, are you there? Dave seemed to have disappeared again. Okay. So, anyone else has an opinion, comment?
My opinion is that this is something that is applied very selectively. and that's been my experience to date.
Yeah, I could comment, too. Yeah,
Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, the board chair almost needs a checklist every time a motion comes to the floor that you look at before it can be passed. Does it have these qualities? And one of them is the financial impact statement. Now, you know, maybe there isn't time to do it, then I don't know, that is kind of an issue. But, you know, some things people bring up are clearly, you know, they should have brought that with them. But I don't know what the answer is, except for that maybe the chair should have a checklist of items to make sure that are in the motion that follow our directives, the resolutions that we passed.
This is Lauren. Yeah, I think that what we talked about before was if the financial impact statement did not accompany the motion, then the request was for the CFO to work either with the finance committee to look at as a responsibility, as a charge, to look at the cost of that motion, and then bring that back to the PNB. Yeah, we've sort of talked about that before, but as Greg says, it has been used also to just put down motions that the majority did not agree with.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said it was used selectively.
Well, I will say more explicitly that it was used to shoot down motions that the majority did not agree with. But the question is, we spoke about this meeting and something about the motion on this meeting. So
yes.
Can I just ask about the training for the training costs for this meeting?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what you did pass a motion, and the motion said that it should be based on what had been approved last time plus, I believe, 20%, which basically meant $2,500. But also a very short timeline was put on, and as Dave pointed out, there wasn't the opportunity for the board to meet again, and so we were faced with a decision to either do it within that, or if it came over, to make a judgment call. Now, the amount of money that this is going to cost is going to be $3,000, not $2,500, and we have committed that money because, you know, the board mandated that this training take place. And if I came to New York and there was no trainer there, that would be worse than spending the extra $500.
Patty?
Go ahead, Patty.
Who is this training group or whatever it is?
Well, it's two people, David Billings and Marjorie Freeman, I believe her name is, from the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond. It's based in the New York City area. It was one of the groups that had actually been suggested in the last go-round, but we didn't pick them because they were based in New York to some extent. And they have met with Dr. Betters or on the phone to find out what she did, and we are actually still awaiting their agenda, which I'm supposedly going to receive by email tonight. And Yolanda's been in conversation with them over the last week or week and a half since the board you know, said we should do this. I can't really tell you too much more about their credentials off the top. I probably have in a file somewhere something submitted a month ago, but I really can't give you much more information than that. I have to say I did think this was planned a little bit late. Had I been asked, I probably would have suggested that you delay, but I wasn't asked.
Okay. Questions, comments?
Brian?
I'm just worried we're not in a productive place right here. We're not considering a proposal. We're considering a problem. I'd suggest we move on with the rest of our agenda, or I would...
I agree.
Move the agenda.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments?
I disagree. Wait. The reason I disagree is because we're about to have a board meeting. At that board meeting, motions are going to come forward. I'm going to have the same problem. People asked me at the last meeting, I think you should rule this, you know, out of order because we don't have this. Or how do we handle this? How do we process this? This committee was the source of this motion. And we have to be clear on what we recommend. So I think we need to have an operational recommendation. Now, what Greg and what other people said is true. I don't think it's right to jump to throw something on the board 3 weeks before an expenditure is to happen. I just don't think that's right. There are going to be emergency cases, but there is no reason that this needed to wait until 3 weeks before a board meeting to get put before the board. And so one of the purposes of this motion might be to impel a little more forward thinking, because it's a lack of forward thinking that often ends up having us spend money in ways that aren't optimally productive. So I do think we need a motion. Maybe we need to table this until a little bit later in the meeting and folks can mull it over. But if anybody has any bright flashes right now, and I think Lonnie was close to sort of the spirit of it. You know, we need to identify the source of funds, and then we need to, so the motion needs to say what budget line it comes from, and then after the fact we need to look and see if that's going to put us over budget, and we need a recommendation about what we do if board resolutions put us over budget. What discipline does the board want to impose on itself? What extra step needs to be taken when we're going to overspend our budget?
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Okay, so I guess we should all take David's charge in mind as we go through the rest of the agenda in terms of, because we definitely will face this next week.
New York, right. So what do we do?
Patty?
Patty, please.
Well, you know, just as a maybe as a precautionary thing, could it be something that you could at least send out just to the board, the motion reminding people that to be aware of this for when they bring motions at the board, this, you know, as a stopgap measure while we're still thinking about this, at least to remind them, and this way, you know, they might at least get on it, or if it seems like people are trying to rush through things without thinking, then at least we have a way to, you know, at least say, well, we know that these are requirements, that we have this this financial impact statement, so you'll have to bring that later or something like that. At least maybe we could, you know, do something in the interim while we're trying to think about what, because we should be aware of this and do this. It's a habit, I think, that we don't have. And I think that how this training came about also was, you know, in some ways a political step rather than a thinking step about what really needed to happen. And this is how this happened 3 weeks before the meeting. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
You know, what we could do is in the board packet, we could include a financial impact form.
Yeah, that would be great.
Where people could identify the motions they plan to bring up, and that way we would encourage them to put it in written form, but also have a section on the form for financial impact. That is, how much it will cost, what the line item might be, and then also when it would start. Many times we don't know when particular items are planned, have in mind for them to start. If it's in the board packet, they at least have it a week before the board meeting or something like that, and then, of course, they're happy to do it.
May I speak?
Dave, please.
One of the things that would be really helpful in that is if you would identify, for example, a couple of the key budget lines from which things are drawn. Like, for example, board expenses. People are unclear about what is going to the national budget lines, what is going to the local. So if there was a little statement in there saying, here are the common budget lines that board motions, you know, that require spending come out of. And here is where they are right now with respect to the annual budget. Those two things, just to know what's in the board expense lines and travel and the rest of it.
That with every board meeting. Right.
Huh?
I can do an update for the board on where its expenses stand in line items and include that in the board packet.
That would be great. You know, another area where things might come up is going to be in the elections costs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right,
okay.
And actually, there is something that we could report on that. But just for board and board meetings, each time you make a request to have someone attend a meeting, whether it's LSB chairs or business managers or corporate counsel, all of that, any motion that relates to anything having to do with either consultation or attendance, that has a budgetary impact, and those are the things that you're talking about, and the form that Lonnie's talking about developing would address that. And if it was, and it's not just for board meetings that you hold in person, it's frankly for any board meeting that you hold.
Okay, very good. So the to-do action item out of this is that Lonnie will develop a form for the board packet, which will address the financial impact of motions, which include both the date that this action is supposed to take place, along with where to locate that in the budget and the amount.
And the cost, yeah. Well, one other thing not to resolve here is that the financial impact of the board meetings themselves, this is a large issue and probably not one that you can resolve here, but as you know, I mean, this is an escalating cost, and it is going to continue to escalate, and that itself has a tremendous financial impact on Pacifica.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and that's a financial impact, and you set a schedule for the next 2 or 3 years, and, you know, we can cost that out, and we can tell you also what that costs. and you really should consider whether the current approach that you're taking is actually sustainable in the long term.
This is Dave?
Sure, Dave.
I'd like to move that we recommend to the PNB that in the event that that motions that call for expenditure of funds exceed the available budget lines by more than 10%, a subsequent motion of the board to approve the expenditure will be required before the money is spent.
Okay.
So that means that in a meeting you say, I move we do so-and-so, and it's going to cost this much, and here's the form, and I'm going to get with Lonnie, and he's going to tell me what line it's from. And then if it turns out that you're over budget, that puts you over budget in the category by more than 20% for that category for the year. Actually, let's say more than $10,000, more than 20% or $10,000. Let's say by more than $5,000 for the year, that it will require subsequent approval by the board.
Yeah, it's a budget adjustment, and the board should make the adjustment.
Right.
Okay. Casey, do you have that?
At 10 and 5 or 20 and 5?
I just said 5,000, 20% or $5,000. Actually, 5,000 is fine to me.
All right.
Okay. Casey, are you
there? I have the second part. I don't have the first part. You're saying that this would be done at the time that the motion is presented?
That if the expenditure, the approved expenditure, or if the motion causes an expenditure to exceed the budget line from which the funds are drawn, to exceed the annual budget by, let's say, more than $5,000, that it will require a subsequent action of the board, a subsequent approval by the board to authorize the spending. And I was thinking that in emergency cases, we might want to authorize this committee to be able to sign off on it. Like, if the board can't, in the event that the board does not have the opportunity to meet. But we could...
That's against the bylaws.
Is it?
We'd be assuming
okay,
the powers of an executive committee. They're explicitly banned in the bylaws.
I don't think you're right. I think the board can delegate powers to the... To any committee that it wants. We've already delegated the right of contract review to a committee.
I could be wrong. I'll check it out.
I think that's correct. So, Dave, when you're saying an approved expenditure, you're saying this is in the case where the motion's already been passed with a financial impact statement attached.
Right, and there are going to be times when people say, well, we can't tell. And so what this does is when we will say something like, okay, we'd like Lonnie to work it up, you know, tell us how much it's going to cost.
But Dave, no, I'm saying that in that board packet, you'll have the board budget highlighted. So folks will know how much is it in line item.
Right, but if we said, okay, we want you to, do some HR training for all the personnel in the network. That would not be coming from a board line, and we don't know how much it would cost. And before, so we'd say, okay, we can't guesstimate that. We want you to give us an estimate of the cost, and it should come, you'd say, well, that would rightfully come from this budget line. So you say, okay. And then if it turns out that that's going to be well over the annual budget or over by more than $5,000, then before we went ahead with it, we would have to come back and reauthorize that spending.
Just to be clear, let's take the scenario where the board is looking for $100,000. It's not in its budget. Then it would be going to look for that $100,000 somewhere else, anywhere else, inside its budget, inside the national office budget, inside station budgets. That can get tricky. We'd have to put some limits on where the board could authorize the funds to be taken from, but in a way, that's what we're talking about.
All this does is it says that the board can't say, just go ahead and do it, and you work it out, but, you know.
Okay. It'll come with a recommendation. All right.
It's a first step.
Yes, I understand. Okay, let's do it that way. Then at least we need to do something, and this is a good first step.
Okay. Casey, please.
I guess what I don't understand is how this differs from what's already the policy we already have in effect with regard to budget adjustments and the requirement there. How is this different? If somebody were to say, okay, we've passed this motion, and here's the financial impact statement, and we want it to come from this line item, and the CFO says, well, that's going to put you over, doesn't this just fall into the same procedure then? That, well, you need to approve a budget adjustment.
Budget adjustments are only for 10%, I think, of a total, exceeding a given budget area by 10%. So In the national, that's like the development budget, the programming budget, et cetera. Those are big numbers. We're talking like $30,000.
I see. So we're saying specific line items.
Yeah.
So
it says before you go ahead and overspend that line item, like, for example, on your, you know, you decided we wanted, let's just take the current example of a retreat. That if it's going to put you over by more than $5,000, another step is going to be required. The board may want to say, oh, really? It's going to be that much more? Okay, well, no. It puts another step on people. Because what happens is in a board meeting, you know, people want to say, okay, let's do it. And you say, okay, and it's only going to cost this much. It forces you to look again at the financial impact once you have a real number in front of you, if the financial impact of what you're doing is more than whatever the threshold we set. I'm just
right,
pulling $5,000 out of my hat, but I'm not wearing a hat.
Thank you. I get it.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. So we have the motion. Objections?
I have a
motion.
Point of privilege.
Please, Brian.
It's probably just a function of being tired from the fund drive and at the wrong end of a three-hour meeting, but I just can't follow what the actual language is we're voting on, having it repeated back to me over the phone. Can it be emailed and then voted on later in the meeting?
I can write it in about 3 minutes, less than that.
That'd
Hang
be great.
On a second.
I just think it's bad form to put discussion items on the agenda and then push for a motion in the same round.
Any other comments?
I'd like that to be enlarged over the PNB board meeting.
I'm sorry, Patty? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, no,
go ahead.
This was Bruti.
I'm sorry, and you said?
No, I was just saying I have to get off the call.
Oh, okay.
I have to get off, and I'll see whoever's going to be in New York. I'll see you guys in New York.
Okay, great. Thanks for coming on.
Have a good night.
Okay. Good night. Okay. The agreement here, Dave, was that you're going to write it up and send it out. Dave? Okay, Dave is in the process of writing it, and I assume he'll send it out. Okay. So my only comment is that you know, we just we need to put some type of discipline into motions, because there are numerous motions, and usually there is some type of emotional event or something tied to it, and we really do need to put some type of process and discipline into proposing these motions and not let it go on an emotional level, but also look at the financial impact. So if we can, if this works, that'll be great. Okay, the next Can we move on? Or are there other comments? Just briefly, I think we had talked about an update on board and meeting expenses. On this, Batch has asked Lonnie, do you have any of this information summarized, or do you think you can, or we can just perhaps look at the numbers and kind of go over if we believe those numbers are correct on the income statement. Do you have any comments on that? I mean, we have not audited any of these expenses as of year to date. Is that correct?
That's true, but we're taking them as they come. What we have done is projected the New York expenses. I'm reading from line K54,
mm-hmm.
which is the YTD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the forecast is also there. Because of the New York, we'll bill $23,000 over on meeting expenses. Legal consultation, we're going to, on projection, overspend that line item by $58,000 because we've got a legal expense. Then the consultant, we're okay. The overall board expense currently is $36,000 above budget, and likely will go up, go over by $64,000. Total board edit. Now the election expenses are denoted separately in the income statement. It's line 62, 63, and 64.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, board expenses will be only over by $11,000 or so, $7,865.
Okay.
So you're okay. You're within within the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So you're okay on board expenses. If we were to save a little money, that would help too. But,
okay, and you said election. That includes the election expenses you're including?
Yeah, because the election expenses, we do have them because we did hire a national election supervisor early.
Right. Per the election committee proposed that, and the board adopted that in the last board meeting.
It had a financial impact, as you know. Yeah. And so rather than hire that person in August, we hired them in April.
Right.
Thereby incurring that expense. And the follow-on hires, that is to say at the station level, will also have a financial impact because they're hired early, too.
Right. Okay. Are there any other questions about this?
I have a couple questions.
Please, Casey.
I'm sorry, Bonnie. I missed what you said about which line items. You're looking at 255 and 256, national and local board expenses?
National expenses are at each income statement, and board expenses are lines 53 through 64.
53 through 64. Okay, so what you're saying is we're okay as far as budget. We're like 11,000 over. What I'm trying to figure out is, like, how much do we spend, like, what's the average cost of one of these conference calls? And, how much are we spending a month on these conference calls on average or something like that?
A real inexpensive conference call company we use. But through the month, that is through the first 8 months of the fiscal, we spent $4,800 on conference calls. So, you know, we're spending not an overwhelmingly expensive item.
And okay.
So we will spend on the year about $7,300 on conference calls. So, you know, that's about $700 a month for all conference calls.
So $7,300 annually about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not bad. And so then the PND meetings are where most of the money's going,
meetings,
correct?
Travel and food.
Meetings, travel, and food. But are they,
the food hasn't been that great.
I was about to say. It's cost us more on the food.
So meetings, travel, and food, and those are all shown on national board expenses, or are those broken up into travel and everything?
Yeah, you got national board expense, but line 54 is where we have meeting and travel. And we have detail on that, too, but. A meeting and travel, $218,000 on the year, and so far we've spent $116,000, two more board meetings to go.
Okay. All right, so then when you're saying $11,000 over on board expenses, that's accounting the travel for the PNB meetings.
Everything. That's lab board expenses, that's travel, that's conference calls, all board expenses.
We're still only $11,000 over.
Yeah, because we underspent in some of these other categories.
Okay, but that and that's year to date.
That's that will be the annual projection. 11,000 overspent currently. YTD, you're underspent by 34,000.
Okay, so that's not bad. And then my other question is that it's my understanding that when there's a PNB meeting in a certain city, that that host station is paying costs out of their own station budget. Is that correct? There are some costs that we're covering.
Well, station in a host city doesn't have travel and usually doesn't have hotel expenses.
Okay.
But if a GM, for example, is traveling from California, that station pays for that GM's travel. So we're only paying for board travel.
National pays for board travel.
National pays.
Okay, national pays for board travel. The stations pay for the GM travel.
Yes.
Okay, and then say, for example, Greg decides that a program director should go. Does National pay for that, or does the station pay for that?
Well, it's not clear.
Okay.
We haven't had program. We did it once. I think the station paid for it, to tell you the truth.
Okay. And then so if you have a board meeting in L.A. and then we invite everybody to dinner, does the station pay for that or does National pay for that?
He pays for it in L.A.
Okay.
You have sometimes people coming to the board meeting.
Right.
They want to have dinner while they're there. They're not on the board. They're not part of the GM's budget.
Right.
We
right.
end up giving them the meal tickets and paying for it.
Yeah, I'm not forming any opinion. I'm just trying to understand because I can't always figure out what we're paying for when I'm looking at the numbers. So basically what you're saying is that as far as PNB meetings go, stations are paying for things that don't have to do with PNB members specifically. But they are paying for their own staff. They are paying for some pieces of hospitality.
Yes, that would be correct. Largely, that's exactly the way it works. There's some exceptions, but they're not large, and they're not large dollar exceptions. That's the way it works.
But we need to know, we need a rule so we know how to budget.
Well, they do. GMs, the stations pay for any receptions and food they may provide for the board. Stations pay for travel for all their staff, that is PDs and or GMs. Mostly it's just the GM.
Uh-huh.
And stations may pay for travel, getting their people from that station back and forth. Although sometimes it works out, they can just jump in our shuttle and it works out that way. But largely, station and board expenses are kept separate.
Okay. Thank you.
I've transmitted the motion to everybody by email.
Thank you, Dave. Any other comments on the board meeting expenses, governance expenses? Okay. Do we want to move to the next one, and then we'll come back to that motion, Dave? We just wanted a quick, just another question from Lonnie. Financial impact of staff communications with Pacifica attorneys, and I know we're, as the corporate counsel committee is to meet, I believe now at the PNB meeting, to address a process for communication with the foundation attorneys, both Kriegler and Siegel. So are there any comments on this issue?
Patty?
Patty, please.
I just would like to know what is the process, if this is a place, where how a board and staff contacts we're in the middle of actually devising a process, right? Are we? Who has the right or ability to contact legal counsel, and which process it is that we use to do that?
Yeah, we're in the middle of that. We haven't. You adopted a motion to kind of preliminarily at the last meeting, and then I guess you kind of tabled it until after you passed it, in a sense, by saying that the corporate counsel committee should develop a policy, and that meeting hasn't taken place yet. And so we're in the midst of this process, and And right now, it's hard for me to interpret it. What you did suggests to me that no board member has access to an attorney right now, but I don't know that I'd be able to enforce that.
And how about staff?
Well, there's nothing to really regulate us at this point. I mean, we have to make contact with an attorney as the occasion presents itself. I mean, you could adopt a policy, but it would be pretty difficult for me to come to a board or even a committee for permission every time I had to contact John Kriegler and ask him for an opinion.
Right. Now, it wouldn't be like you. What about like a programmer or say a programmer or a general manager or a programmer wanted to talk
never,
to
I've never
lawyer.
Heard of a programmer. At least I've only been here for 4 months, but I've never heard of a programmer contacting or even attempting to contact an attorney. General managers, that's another question. My understanding is sometimes they even hire their own attorneys, depending on the case, right? I mean, I know in the Hanrahan case that happened.
That's very rare.
That's rare?
That's
okay.
Rare. But on FCC questions, general managers do call John Kriegler, and he's been generous enough not to charge us for a lot of those calls. But, yeah, the questions come up.
National staff members do on occasion. Ursula does occasionally contact John as well.
Do you authorize those contacts, or?
Actually, more frequently, it's coming to me, but that hasn't been there has been no policy on that, and so it hasn't been regulated up till now. I think you're probably right that it should be approved.
It fell into we had a long period where we had an interim, and people just pick up the phone and call Kriegler. We do need to regulate that cost. He's been generous in not charging us, but we can't expect him to do that forever. So I would endorse a policy where issues, I think it's more of an issue, not so much of an issue with Kriegler, because we control that, but the corporate counsel is a different kettle of fish. I do think the policy, I do think that questions have to be put into a group of questions so they can be asked and not be done ad hoc. I think we need to do something in that area, because I've seen the legal bills really skyrocket when any board member or anybody can pick up the phone and call the attorney, and the bill comes in $450, $300, $400 for a half an hour phone call. So it's expensive.
I agree with Lonnie, except to the extent that I do think it should be a global policy and that it also should regulate the contact with the FCC attorney, because I do believe that board members do feel that they have license to make those contacts if they have an inquiry, and they don't necessarily ask anybody, and I've seen that happen. I don't know whether we've been billed for it or not, but I could imagine a situation in which we would be.
This is Dave?
Sure, Dave.
I think the way we have to do it is, in terms of the financial impacts, is to establish a budget for each category, management, and for the board. My personal view is that our corporate counsel is not the counsel of any board member. The question is, the proposal's been made that, well, three board members can go and ask a question, but there must be some limit, whatever you decide is the mechanism. Whether it's a committee, whether it's six board members, whether it's three, whatever, we should define and we should know from our lawyers how they're going to bill and what they're going to bill. And if it's, for example, let's just assume for the sake of argument that a committee could by motion instruct their chair to contact the attorney and ask for an opinion on something. Well, suppose you had a committee going, constantly, spending out the whole budget. Leaving none for any others, and different people are disposed more or less to want to seek that kind of advice. So I think we have to specify a budget, like how much of the budget that we've allocated to our corporate counsel are we allocating to questions by the board. Given that, whatever mechanism we decide, like if it's three members or let's say it's a committee, then we should divide down that budget and say, okay, that committee has the following budget for legal inquiries over the course of the year, and it has to self-regulate that budget, and anything beyond that has to be approved by the board. I think that makes the most sense. As Brian says, we're the finance committee, not the governance committee, so maybe we don't get into the details of what formation is capable of asking that question. But I think we can put forward the I think we can put forward the proposal that we should allocate a specific budget for each category, board, management, whatever, and that it should be divided equally, and that overspending beyond the allocated amount requires board approval.
Okay, Dave, do you want to put that into it? Was that, can you make that more concise and make it a motion, or how do we want to proceed?
Well, you
want
to vote the other motion while I write this one?
I don't have it because, like I said, my AOL is down.
Okay.
So can someone read the motion?
I'm going to put the phone down, and I will write this one.
Okay, can someone read the motion? The one on...
I have it now, if you'd like.
Sure.
If the financial impact of any motion passed by the PNB results in projected overspending by $5,000 or more on annual projection, in the budget line specified in the motion as the source of funds, then the PNB must separately approve that expenditure before any funds are spent.
Okay, any other comments?
I have a comment.
Please, Brian.
The language of this motion says to me the board could approve a project that's supposed to cost $500. Allocate $500 from an item that's $100,000 for the year. It could overrun costs by up to $95,000. But because it's not overrunning the budgeted line item, that would still be kosher under this.
No, it's on projection. So if you know your spending is committed to other areas, then, like, if you know you're going to be spending that money, when the budget was formed, you said, we're going to be spending on this, 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 and this, and this, and those things were all still pending. You add something that wasn't budgeted, and it goes up by a given amount.
Question, Brian?
Are you asking me if I have a question? I guess you're...
Sorry, on Jay's comment.
The problem to me is that you're pegging it to whether there's an item exceedance rather than an exceedance in the amount budgeted for that expenditure.
Well,
I don't know if I made that coherent.
Yeah,
or not.
I understand what you're saying. May I respond? Is it okay, LaVon? I'll just go ahead and respond. The reason it's not that it whether it exceeds the amount that the board said it can be is a different question. But this is, let's say the board decides, like I said, we're going to have a board trading, and it's going to come out of the board expense line. Well, if you look at the board expense line, we budgeted 120, and we're 30,000 less than that. So if this costs $5,000 or if it costs $8,000, we're still not over. But if we budgeted 130 and, you know, with everything we've spent plus what our projections are for the rest of the year, this adds to that by more than $5,000, then the board has to know that. And, you know, if what Lonnie says is true, if he can come to us with our running totals with certain budget lines that we tend to spend a lot, we'll know that at the moment. And we can separately, you know, have a motion right then and there, says we'll do it. But if what happens is we pass something and you go and we're not sure what budget line it needs to come from or how much it's going to be, and you go and you find out that once you've priced it out that it's going to put you over your annual projection by more than the specified amount, then you have to come back to the board before you spend the money and say, look, this is actually going to put you over. And then the board deals with it at that time.
Well, let me give you an example of what would be the impact of that. Right now, anytime anybody wanted to talk to an attorney, from here until the end of the fiscal year, you'd have to come back to the board because you're already over budget. The budget was, according to what I see here, was $6,000, and we're way over. So anytime anybody wanted to contact an attorney, you'd need to come back to the board.
Well, in that case, what we would do is we would say, oh, you're over. We're already overspent on that item, so we're going to do a budget adjustment now, and we're going to change the amount that is available, and of that, we're allocating this much for, you know, board inquiries to lawyers. But the point is, if we're overspent, the answer shouldn't be, well, you should have to face that fact and deal with it, is the point.
you also need to project it on a month-to-month basis rather than on an annual basis, because otherwise it just encourages people to get their requests in early and spend out the budget. I mean, that would be true for a number of items. I think that was what Brian was going toward, is that if you have a large budget, I mean, and you only have a small amount of money spent out of that, well, you know, spend your money quick, because after a while you're going to have to get a budget adjustment.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that, like Brian said before, I mean, I don't know how far we can go with working this motion up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not opposing the motion. I'm just suggesting that it may not be perfected yet.
Well, why don't we say as a preliminary measure, and then so we have something in place, and then like we can add, as we have in the past, this policy will be revisited in 3 months.
Okay, the question is, has everyone had an opportunity to look at it?
I need clarification on one point. This is Brian.
Okay, please. Also, let's just be mindful of the time. It's 8:10. I'd like to close within 5 minutes, but let's just see what we can do.
My car's in the garage. I may have to get it out.
Right. Go ahead, please.
Is this meant to create a mechanism for the board to approve things without financial impact assessments?
No. What it's doing is, what we've been doing is people just pull a number out of the hat. And without, they say, okay, it's going to be this much and it's going to come from this line. There's your financial impact. There's your source of funds. The point is, if it's unrealistic or if it causes you to overspend, that there's an additional step. And the point is to get people to look in advance before they make recommendations, and to not put the board in a position of just acting because somebody came up with an idea at a given moment, and then you just say, okay, we'll spend it. It makes you take a second look if you're overspending, which the previous motion, as it was practiced, hasn't been doing.
Okay, are there any other questions, additional questions, comments? Brian? Okay, let's take this to vote so we can move forward on this. Okay. And others have had an opportunity to look at it. Okay, would like to vote. Are there objections to the motion? Okay, no objections, then so passed. Okay, let's go to the staff communications with Pacifica attorneys. What did we do on that? We were addressing that one also.
Right,
okay,
now.
Okay, and I just want to go to the next meeting. I can pull together what we've talked about for the PNB report, and I can just do the best I can here. And on the national priorities, I wanted to, and also the CFO report, do we need to include that with our NFC report, or that will be included in your report, Greg? That's the question.
You mean the national budget priorities? No, I wasn't planning on it. I was planning on addressing some of the issues in my oral report, but it's not written, no.
Okay,
if you can include it if you wish, that's fine with me.
Okay, that's great. And are there any other comments on the PNB report in terms of what we need to include? Okay. And on new business, are there new business issues we need to address for the next meeting, or something we need to propose? The only new business was my item on, in terms of assisting KFCF on the transmitter cost. Okay, so now we're on the motion for contact with Pacifica attorneys. Are you complete? Are you through with that, Dave? Are you ready to send it out? Oh, Dave. Okay, he's working on that. Any other comments anyone would like to make on the meeting?
This is Brian.
Sure, go ahead.
I guess a parallel to Dave's motion that we just passed, I would propose saying that a directive of the PNB whose implementation exceeds that budgeted in the accompanying financial impact assessment, the executive director, if it exceeds that by more than 10%, the executive director can refused to implement it at his discretion.
Wow.
refuse to implement the motion? Refuse to implement the action?
You can't give him that discretion because it's politically impossible. You would have to mandate that he doesn't.
Well, okay, so help me figure out how to work it. My concern is that you're looking at budget line item exceedances, but you're not looking at whether or not the projects are actually wildly different from what was proposed to the PNB in terms of cost. Do you see where I'm coming from?
I don't.
It must be that time of the evening, as you said earlier.
Dave's motion triggers a barrier if this project pushes a budget line item over budget. And there's completely independent variables on that. It has to do with how much Pacifica is spending from that same line item on other things, in addition to how much it's spending on implementing that motion.
Yes.
So if you had a budget line that you hadn't spent much on that year, the board could approve what it thinks is a very small expense. The implementation could go over by a factor of 5 or 10, and it still wouldn't max out that budget line. And you don't have any language that would trigger something to rein that in. If your concern is that people are just pulling cost estimates out of the hat for the purposes of getting motions through, your concern isn't that it maxes out a budget line item, it's that there's a significant departure in implementation from what was proposed in terms of cost.
Like, for example, the $80,000 board meeting we had last year against the $30,000 budget, the New York meeting.
There you go.
May I speak, Laura?
Sure, please.
I think the other one was urgent because it was affecting the conduct of board business. I think this one we might have a little bit of time to work on and might make sense to actually think about for another few weeks before we pass it.
Okay, so we can put that on as unfinished business?
Well, if it's okay with other people.
I'll withdraw the language that I proposed. I feel like there's still a problem in search of a solution when we talk about board spending.
Yeah.
Okay. So the motion that you'll send that also. Never mind. Okay. So we'll put that on as unfinished business. Are there any other comments or on any agenda items that we missed?
I sent the motion around that I wrote up on
good.
The legal spending.
Great. Please.
Okay. The Finance Committee recommends that the Board adopt a specific budget for legal inquiries by authorized persons or bodies of the Board, whatever their composition, and that no person or body authorized to make legal inquiries be able to exceed 10% of the total budget for legal inquiries without explicit Board authorization. The Board may be required to adjust its legal budget allocation during the course of the year. And the idea of that is, rather than figure out how to divide it at 10%, if you've reached that threshold, I'm not expecting everybody who would be so authorized to be spending that much. But at the point at which you did, then you would have to get board authorization for further inquiries. And it would be an implementation issue that we would have to refer to Lonnie and to Greg as to how that would be tracked, so you know when you've hit the threshold. That would have to be an agreement that was... That would have to be a process that was worked out with the particular attorneys, and the national office would have to have some way of tracking. Shall I read it again?
I'm sorry. I don't believe that. Are there questions, comments?
You're sending that out, right?
I already sent it.
Yeah, sent it out. Well, you sent it to Lonnie. I guess I don't have it, but that's fine. He'll forward it to me.
I sent it to the National Finance Committee list. You're not on it. Sorry.
Okay. Need to copy Greg on these. We'll send the things down.
Lonnie will send it to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be more in line for us to propose such a budget?
Yeah, it would. It would. I don't think we have time right now. I think what the board will do is refer it back to the Finance Committee to specify the amount, and we could tentatively adopt an amount. Should we just pick a number right now to adopt in the interest of expediency?
I'd rather look at the numbers and see first.
Right.
Well, I mean, what, $500,000? That's going to cover it. We could just start with that, right?
What does the committee, what is the choice of the committee on this item.
I think
okay.
Brian's idea is a good one.
Okay.
I guess, for me, there's two questions. I mean, one is, what kind of price capping do you do? The other is, what kind of coordination do you have so that there's not duplicate requests of your council?
The latter is going to get taken care of in the process the corporate council comes up with. It has to do with the board being CC'd on any request and all the rest of that.
I guess I'm confused about the process itself. Are you saying that board members are authorized to directly contact legal without going through the ED?
The Corporate Council Committee is working out what the process is going to be. One proposal that's come forward is that any three members of the PNB could together agree that they wanted to ask a question of council, and that what they would do is then they'd forward that question to, I guess it was through the chair, to the attorney, and the board would be CC'd. Whether or not that's what actually passes isn't the issue. That's why I left it vague and said whatever body or person gets authorized in the policy. So that's why the language is any authorized person or body. And so once you've established, like let's just say that we said any three people, well, it might get a little tricky figuring out if, you had a different three people every time when those three people had, asked 10% worth of the budgeted, spent 10% worth of the attorney's budgeted time. But that would be an implementation issue. They might say, yeah, if one person's a signatory on more than, however much. Like, let's say we budgeted for 30 hours of attorney's time for the year, or let's say 100 hours of attorney's time for the year for board inquiries. That means the finance committee couldn't take more than 10 hours of it without having to go back to the board and saying, may we have some more, please? We used all.
Brian here.
Yes.
I think instead of going through parallel processes then, we either need to ask the Corporate Council Committee to come up with a budget or ask that this committee be given the opportunity to review and propose amendments to what they come up with before it goes to the full board.
Yeah.
Can I respond to that?
Patty here,
sure.
Through after.
Yeah, Dave.
The problem is, as Greg mentioned, a number of people on the board are very eager to establish the process by which they can make inquiries of the attorney. And so if I don't know, whether the board as a body is going to want to just move ahead. My sense of the last meeting was that a number of people on the board very much want to get this issue resolved. So if we come ahead of time and say, on the finance side, this is how you should handle it. You should have a budget, and you should have a way of sharing that budget. I think it will speed things along quite a lot. Otherwise, we have our next meeting scheduled for the end of June. The board, I don't think, or many members of it, may not be willing to say, okay, well, we're willing to wait till the end of June for you to make your proposal, and then our next PMV teleconference is at the end of July, or we have to hold a special meeting. So you're dealing with a couple of months while we're up in the air on how and whether council's opinion can be sought.
Patty?
I was just wanted to ask perhaps Casey, who actually deals with nonprofit board training and boards all the time, could you tell me, is there a traditional or process or way that most boards deal with their council? Or,
well, I would just say that when I heard this thing about three people just now, that's freaking me out.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
I would, 10% on if there's a process like that, I'd say 0.5%. I can't imagine people on board going directly to corporate council without the ED knowing. I mean, this should be going through the ED. That's crazy. It's not just financial. I mean, there are all kinds of crazy impacts that this will have. But as far as financial stuff, just saying, well, you can't exceed the budget by more than 10% just kind of
No. It doesn't say you can't exceed by more than 10%. It says you can't use more than 10. No one person can use more than 10% of the total budget.
Okay, just a second, Dave. We're getting near the end, so I need the other people's comments without you coming back.
So then are you going to ask corporate counsel to spend time, and which then correlates to money, tracking who asked what question and how much time those individuals spent so that we can track what percentage of the budget they used?
Can I respond?
There you go. Please.
No, obviously the policy that would get passed, if this idea is in the mix, then any policy that would get passed on the process would have to include the implementation. So, for example, what was being contemplated was that questions would be routed through the chair. So then the chair might have to keep track of it, or the national office might have to somehow keep track of it. It would be an implementation issue. I happen to agree with you. I said on the last meeting, I don't view the council as the council of board members. I think it is the council of the foundation. But there remains a question, which is, and we've had this in the past, where there were philosophical and other types of differences between the executive director and different members of the board. And what people, we have a board that was constructed by proportional representation.
Dave,
want
take
to figure out
a point of personal privilege here. Dave, can you kind of be brief? And also, there are people who need to mute. We can hear conversations in the back. Can you just be a little brief, Dave, because it's already 8:25?